please consider calling into the show today. We have a number of hot topics, and your voice needs to be heard. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections is your opportunity to make sure your opinion is heard over the noise of the media. James T. Deshaies is committed to bringing the voice of the people to the world stage. He'll select topics, but your voice will be the focus. So take time to spend with him and inform the world of your views. We can no longer sit back and let others tell us what to think. The cost of being a silent majority is too great, and too many lives are being destroyed. The leaders around the world need to be put on notice that their jobs and careers depend on how well they listen. Call in on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 657-383-0309, or Thursdays, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 347-855-8867, or Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 657-383-0309. Why don't you add Thoughts, Love, and Reflections to your weekly schedule? If you have story ideas or topics of discussion, contact James Deshaies at 407-394-9819 or email djames82@aol.com.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
Beauty is truly found beyond the symmetry of a nice face or perfect teeth. It's beyond smooth curves or huge muscles. It's created deep within the texture of the skin, where physical attributes have no value. Beauty is discovered where the spirit resides, created by the pressure of daily trauma and unhappy events. It's made strong by inspiration and warm, intense moments of joy. Beauty captivates the dreams of those who seek more than fine thighs and behinds. True beauty can't be confined to words that describe the flesh, because the Creator hid the essences of beauty inside the eternal being. What's displayed on the outside is no match to that that radiates from within. We have to start searching for the treasure that exists below the surface to discover the true beauty of mankind.
This is your host, James T. Deshaies, of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. I want to just, as always, thank you guys for being out there. We want to continue to have an opportunity to voice our opinions and to let everyone know exactly what we're thinking. We want our voices to be heard loud and clear, so there are no mistakes about what each of us individually think or what we bring to the table. I want to say to you, before we really get started on selecting our topics today, you know, I've been constantly hearing by Donald Trump's team that America really doesn't want to see his tax returns. So I wanted to make sure that I went on the show today and went on record and said I want to see his tax returns before the election. I don't think it's fair for him to keep putting it off in hopes that he can win without showing his tax returns. I think his tax returns are an important part of who he is, and we have a right to see them before the November election. I'm not sure how other people feel, but I believe it is an eliminator to his being elected if he refuses to show as his tax return before the vote. So I just want to go on record. I don't know if any of the other of you want to go on record. I don't know if it's important to you, but it is indeed important to me. And I want to just go on record saying that I want to hear or see his tax returns before the election. I hope that Hillary Clinton makes it a big issue when the debate starts if he continues to refuse to make his tax returns public. We're going to take a short break here at the beginning to give more people time to get online, to call in. So we want to make sure that we give everybody opportunity to hear the audios before we start our discussion today.
Demanding
this is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. And we're going to go on and get into our conversation for today. We have an awful situation taking place where we have two individuals who have been certainly damaged and who are going to have their lives changed forever. And, you know, we've had this conversation before, and I don't know what it is that we need to do as a civilization. I don't know what colleges need to do to reduce the number of sexual assaults on their campuses. But we're going to have to find a solution to young people going to college, because we don't send our girls to college to be damaged. And we don't send our boys to college for them to act inappropriately and find themselves locked in jail for a long period of time. And here again, we have a young man at a major university who has acted out in a way that is inappropriate, and now he finds himself in a situation where he may very well be off to jail for a long period of time. And the young lady is going to be damaged for a period of time, and hopefully she'll be able to get over this. But at some point in time, we have to find a solution to help both men and women recognize why they go to college and why they shouldn't be participating in activities that might endanger their freedoms and endanger their mental health. And so I want you to listen to this for a little while.
Football player accused of rape has just turned himself into police. This less than 24 hours after his accuser publicly spoke out. Sophomore Delaney Robinson breaking her silence to the media yesterday about her claims that linebacker Alan Artis sexually assaulted her back in February. Robinson deciding to take her story public after months of trying to get formal charges filed.
I did everything a rape victim is supposed to do. I reported it. I allowed the rape kit to be taken. I gave a statement. I cooperated with law enforcement and with the Title IX office. But 6 months later, the university has done nothing. I'm taking this public stand not for me, but for the other students on campus who are not protected, despite what the university says.
Students Bryn Gingrass is following the story for this morning in Chapel Hill. Good morning.
Hey, Carol. Good morning. And as you just said, Alan Artis has now turned himself in. And I want to be clear, these are on misdemeanor charges. And I want to get into the technicality of how those were filed. But first, I want to go back to what Delaney Robinson said in that statement that you just heard her say. She said she did everything she was supposed to do. On the night she was allegedly sexually assaulted, she did go to police. She did take a rape kit. She actually said she took pictures of bruising on her neck, which occurred that night. And she also talked to investigators. She said she had an interesting interrogation by those investigators, school investigators. They asked her, you know, has she had a one-night stand before? Has she ever been with this football player before? Questions like those. And she says the interrogations against the person she accused, Alan Artis, he said, well, they were very, you know, friendly-like to him. So she's been displeased with this whole process by the school. Now, fast forward 6 months, she said she waited until charges would be filed, and they never came. So that's why she and her lawyer, they went to a magistrate's office. And this is the technicality I want to explain. In the state of North Carolina, anybody can go to a magistrate's office and get misdemeanor charges filed. The threshold is much lower than getting felony charges filed, and that's what came forward. And those charges are sexual battery and assault. And those are what has been filed against Alan Artis, this football player, who has turned himself in on those charges, and that's what he's now facing.
Here we are with another case where we have a young man who is put himself in a position where he very well may lose his freedom for a long period of time. And a young lady who finds herself not being treated as she should be when bringing these kind of charges. Now, we know that it is he say, she say, but we know that this is happening and it's happening too often. And certainly, these organizations need to be doing something to protect these young people from themselves. The young lady has admitted that she was drinking and she's underage. But again, like she said, because she was underage is not a reason for her to be sexually assaulted. So how do we save our young men and women from themselves? How do we help them to understand that they go to college and they can be in a very vulnerable situation, and how they should go about protecting themselves, both men and women, from these type of charges or these kind of situations? And once you find yourself charged with this kind of situation, and you not only have to go to jail, but come out and be labeled a sex offender and have to be put on a roll for the rest of your life. Welcome, Kathy. Kathy, what are we going to have to do to change the behaviors of young men who find themselves constantly involved in these kind of activities? And how do we protect young women?
We're going to have to just continue to talk about the issues, James. And as far as protecting the young women, they're going to have to be talked to as well. But again, you cannot tell these young ladies who to talk to, because if you do, they're going to do it anyway. And I think that possibly she could have been looking at it in another way. You know, she saw him. He had potential. He probably was going to be an up-and-coming something. I don't know. I don't know what the situation was. But to answer your question, we probably need to just continue to talk about it. Let it get out there in the media so that those that follow behind him will not make that same mistake, because it's been happening over and over and over again. This is possibly like the seventh time this year that I can recall of some sort of situation happening like this to a young lady by a football player.
Yeah, it is something that we have to find an answer to, because we cannot continue to lose, both of these people are victims. And I know that people, he's not a victim, but he has value. And, you know, he has a mother, he has a father, he has aunts and uncles, and he had a future. And we cannot continue to let our young men find themselves in this situation. These schools, these football teams, these colleges, they're going to have to do a better job about bringing freshmen in or giving them some type of orientation about these kinds of things happening on campus, to be aware of drinking and putting themselves in positions where they're not thinking straight. If you do bad things when you're drinking, you need to stop drinking. If you cannot make good choices, good decisions, and that's on both sides, then you need to stop drinking and not allow yourself that luxury. Because we have too many young people whose lives are being devastated because they want to drink to the point that they pass out. This young lady says she wasn't passed out, but certainly, you know, I'm sure it may come to pass that he was drinking and somehow or another didn't fully understand what he was doing. I don't know, but it just means that two valuable individuals are now dealing with a major situation that needed to be avoided.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And it could have been consensual. We don't know, or it could not have been consensual because we weren't there. I believe that whoever is around him advised him to turn himself in so that he can go ahead and take care of whatever needs to be taken care of as far as giving his side of the story. Not saying that I don't believe the young lady, because it could possibly be true. But again, we need to continue to talk to these young men and let them know, hey, if a woman says no, she means no. I don't care if she has a short dress on, if she allows you to kiss her and caress her, but if she says no, it means no.
And you're definitely right, because the loss of your freedom and being forever characterized as a sex offender is too great a price to pay for that type of indulging. Audrey, I see you're out there. You want to chime in on this? How do we protect our young men and our young women? Don't you think these schools and these football teams have to come up with a way of informing these young people how to behave, how to act, so they don't find themselves in these situations?
Yes, absolutely. And I think Kathy's right on target with the dialogue. It's all about the communication. And to take it one step farther, I think if these colleges and even the high schools don't have something in place for our athletes as a mentoring program, such that those that came before them can help them maneuver through situations, speak on their language, speak on their level, they'll accept it. As parents, a lot of times we can tell children, what we do is best for them, but they think we're old-fashioned and they just have to travel the road of heart. Not, but if they have a program in place, a mentorship program, to dialogue and address these issues specifically like this, these are life lessons. And even our churches have some responsibilities. It's not enough to put it on our communities and our universities. I think our churches partner with the parents, have an opportunity to have some real-life situations, and whether they're seminars, whether they're workshops, whether they're, once a month, let's chat or whatever the case may be. I do know that years ago I had an opportunity to just chat with some of the young ladies in our church, and I tell you, it was an eye-opener for me, the things that's on their mind. But if we don't give them an avenue, and they don't have a person that, of good values and thought process to help them along, I think we're going to continue to go down this path. My nephew had one time considered having a mentor program, and he played professional football and all, and I surely hope that he would kind of revisit that, because he's a great role model, and you can just get just everyday hard-working community people. We really need a lot of role models, especially black male role models, to step up and be mentors. And I think that's part of where we can see some positive results.
And the problem is that we have such the rules and how these young men are treated. I don't want to minimize the experience this woman may have had if she really was raped. That's a horrific event, and certainly it ought to be treated as such. But, you and I, we've had discussions on my show, and we see it all the time, as Kathy has stated, and everybody is treated unfairly. I mean, the young men can be treated unfairly. The young women can be treated unfairly. You have situations where the men are found guilty, and then you have one race of young men who get 6 months or probation, and you have another group of young men who may get 10 or 15 years. And so it just to be caught up in this situation where you have no clue to what's going to happen to you is crazy. And even after you spend time in jail, you come out and you have to be put on this sex offender list where you have to be on there for the rest of your life. It is just a horrific situation to be caught up in.
Yes, you're right. It's life-changing. And I think that's what Kathy and I are talking about, having a conversation and a dialogue that would get in front of it. So that is not only protecting the young man, that's protecting the young woman, because our thought is during that dialogue and conversation, we'll have an opportunity to discuss why we value women and how to treat women as valuable. So if indeed you're treating a woman with respect and dignity, it's less likely, and I'm not saying that it won't happen, but it's less likely to get tangled up in that. But if and do you happen to be faced with the situation, if you've had a coach or a mentor that was really talking, I mean, just straight up with you, they will help you to get out of that situation before you get into it. You're right. We're not taking anything away from that female, because she, too, has experienced a life-changing event. But the best way to do it for both parties is to mitigate it, and it takes the conversation, it takes the commitment, and it takes the dedication of acting. You know, coaches are very important to the black community, but we need additional role models to really step up and take some action. And whether it's your children or whether it's someone in the neighborhood, whether it's a relative, you know, have that conversation, and don't let it be the elephant in the room, because in essence, the elephant will actually get stuck, and when it's our color, we understand how those doors happen to lock a lot longer than our counterpart.
And Kathy, Audrey made a statement about churches being involved, and certainly your church plays a big part in your life. You know, what do you think about, you know, we're always praising these kids about going off to college, and we have them stand up in our churches, and we praise them, and we're excited about them going to school. But we need to talk to them about some of the terrible things that happen in college and how they need to be very careful about participating in underage drinking and getting involved with young boys, and what, you know, the expectations of what going to school can happen. So I think we can't just wait on the parents. All organizations need to be involved in trying to make life safe for these college students. You know, because one of the things I look at when I see these college students, I'm thinking about, especially when we're talking about, we talk about how young people's minds are not fully developed. That's one of the reasons why we don't allow them to drink until 21. We said their minds aren't fully developed. Their cognitive thinking about what damage can be done when they do things that are inappropriate. And so do we need to make some different laws for young people to help keep them safe? Or do we just want to continue to penalize them and hold them accountable once they reach the age of 18, Audrey?
Well, I believe we have some policies, procedures, or laws that's already in place. We just have to execute them. And, again, we have to make sure that the community is involved, you know, whether it's the YMCA, whether it's Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, some type of mentorship. I think that's where it is. You can write laws all day long, but it's the behaviors that's going to be important to us. And so in order to get down to the behaviors piece, I think you have to do that at the grassroots level, you know, a small group at a time. Mega churches and stuff, they're fine and dandy, but me personally, I like that smaller congregation just because I can really get a chance to know people and they can get a chance to know me. And then however we can help each other, I think it's easier for us to do that. So that's my mindset, not saying that it's right, but my philosophy is, you know, you start making a difference in the lives of one, and then that'll turn into two, and you do it that way. So to answer your question, I don't think it's about making additional rules, regulations, and laws. It's about executing what we have and then creating whatever mentorships and community groups to help us.
Well, one of the things that I try to think about, you know, if you're 17, you're 16, or you're 14, and you participate in one of these behaviors, we make some kind of allowances for the fact that you're under the age of 18. And we send a lot of these young men off to college at 17 and 18, and they find themselves in the midst of doing this heavy drinking. They're in an environment where they have a lot more freedom. They don't have their parents there to oversee them, and they just have this freedom that they're not used to. And so you have women who will go to the men's rooms thinking one thing and the young men thinking another. And we find ourselves with these two people who are too young to fully understand what they're getting themselves into. And so I'm just wondering if the penalty at their age should be as strong or as heavy as a lifelong sexual offender as we would do a person who was in their 30s or 40s if they did the same act on a woman of any age. And so I'm just throwing that out there because, you know, one minute we say these when you're 18 and 20, you're too young, you're still a child. We call them kids. And we have all these unadult-like terms that we place on them, but then we treat them like adults once they violate some of our adult laws. Kathy, are you there? You know, and that's what I want to – I question, Audrey. I just question – okay. Kathy, I just question whether or not we're treating these young people fairly because, you know, one minute we say they're kids, but the next minute we're treating them like old adults when they make mistakes.
Where they are actually kids, but, you know, that's a I'm going to say a learned behavior that when you're allowed to do something and you continue to do it and no one says anything about it, then the kids think that it's okay. So they are still young adults. They are still not kids, but young adults. But it's a learned behavior. And it's just like with 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds, and 4-year-olds. If we allow them to do these things and never say anything to them, they think that it's okay, and they continue to do it. They continue to age. They continue to do it. They continue to age. And then we say, what happened? Why are they doing that? Because they did it when they were younger, and no one never disciplined them on it. No one never sit them down and talk to them about it. No one never said anything. That's why they're still doing it today.
And then, too, we have a distinction with juvenile, right? At certain ages, up to a certain point, they consider juvenile. So that's another opportunity to try to correct that behavior and or not give as severe a penalty as you would in a mature adult.
And I keep adding little things that I think about, Kathy and Audrey. You know, when we were younger, again, all of us are near the same age, we were not inundated with the sex like we are now. You know, we grew up with shows that wouldn't show men and women in the bedroom, in beds together. We grew up shows where they never took their clothes off. There was just not all this sex like it is now. So young people are now growing up with all kinds of information, and they are starting at a much younger age participating in sex, and then they're getting in trouble and having adult penalties for it once they turn 18. And we, like we say, you know, we call them kids. We tell them they can't drink. We don't allow them to gamble. We protect them beyond the age of 18, but once they make a mistake, we treat them just like they should have known better.
Well, society has set it in stone that at the age of 18, you are legally able to do everything everybody else does. Go to the service, you can drink, you can gamble, you can do everything. But again, like I believe it's Audrey was saying, that they need mentorship. These kids, when they get to a certain level, they need to be mentored. They need to have men in their life to show them, you know, how you're supposed to act when you go out and begin to live a life of being grown. They need to know about finances, how to handle their finances, how to interact with women, because there is a certain way that you're supposed to act when you interact with a young lady. But they have not been trained, they have not been given those tools as young men.
And you're right, they have not been given the tools, and we say that their minds are not fully developed. I want to make one correction. I heard you say, Kathy, normally throughout the country, they can't drink until they're 21, and they're not supposed to go into these clubs, to these gambling places until they're 21. I remember when Tiger Woods was winning all kind of championships, and he had millions and millions of dollars, but he couldn't go to Las Vegas and gamble because he hadn't reached the proper age yet. So we're still protecting our young adults from themselves for another couple of years, even after they reach 18. But we're not, we don't extend them that same protection if they break the law. And so, you know, it's kind of funny that we do that because we say that they haven't.
Hello?
I'm here. I think James hit mute on himself or on.
Okay. Okay. Thanks.
Okay. So, James. Come back.
Well, Kathy, I think he mentioned that you're being very active in your church. Do you guys have a men's group or any youth organization that you guys take the time to mentor young people, whether they're in your church or your communities? Are you guys pretty active with that approach?
Yes, thank you for asking. We actually do. We have a men's group where there are men that take young men's ages 17 to 35 and mentor them. And they talk to them about their finances. They talk to them about how to treat young ladies. They talk to them about savings. I mean, different things that they need in order to grow as a man. They do that with them. They take them out to eat. They do some of everything. And we also have a group like that for the young ladies as well. They go to their school with them. If they get any bad reports at school, the ones that are 17, they go to school with them and to their counseling sessions. The ones that are married, they mentor them. Yeah, they do. We do have that at our church.
Well, that's kudos to you, because I think sometimes when we're trying to think of solutions and stuff, sometimes we don't realize that some of the programs that we are, you know, supporting and participating in is making a difference, because otherwise it would be worse than what it is. Now, not to say that we don't have much work to do, but I just think sometimes we don't take time to really pause for a minute and say, you know, we are doing some things right, but this is not something that you can put on a flip chart or Excel spreadsheet or whatever and track, because you're talking about people's lives. and with that, that comes time and over a period of time to see how your investment is taking that time to go to a restaurant together, taking the time to support them in their sports, taking the time to visit with them at the counselor's office. So kudos to you and your church family for doing that, because that's really what the scripture tells us when we're going out and spreading the good news. It's not just verbal. You guys are putting action, where your mouth is, per se. And I'm sure some people have gone through that program or whatever and come back to the church and say what a difference, you all have made. So kudos for being part of the solution,
Yes.
I want to let you all know I'm back. I got kicked off a little bit. And thank you all.
That's okay. We kept it going. We kept it going.
I appreciate that. Well, I just wanted to interject. You know, we have to start looking at the lives of our young people and our young adults as actually treasures. And we need to do things for things that we truly value so that they are kept away out of harm's way. And our jails are filled with young men who have lost their way and who have an opportunity to be salvaged. But we need to figure out how to keep them away from the experience in the very beginning. And so that's why I believe that all these schools and churches and high schools need to be developing programs that help people to learn about moral values and how not to cross lines. And also, let me just flip the script a little bit and say to you that we need to also tell young ladies not to put young men in unwinnable positions. And I know some of you all might get upset with me by saying this. Experience where women will say stop, but you can spend the night, but we ain't gonna do anything. You don't offer anybody an opportunity to spend the night with you if you're not going to be in their lives in an intimate fashion. And sometimes people think it's no big deal to be sleeping with someone, and people take that lightly. But you need to tell that young man to go home if you don't have any intentions of being intimate with him. You shouldn't accept the invitation to go up to a man's room alone. That's what I say to my daughter. If you don't have any intentions of going there, it's easier to say no when you're outside than it is to say no when you're behind those closed doors. I said it, so I'm ready to take my beating if you ladies feel otherwise.
Kath, I'll let you go first.
Can you go
first? And Regina's
first,
out there as well. Go ahead.
Okay, go ahead, Regina or Kath.
Well, I agree with what James is saying about putting the men in that type of position. When I first read what the topic was going to be, I was misled, and so I had to go back and read it just now before I came in. And it seems as though the young lady passed out from being drunk. And I found the way I do, it bothers me. I can't say that I agree with what he did, because what he did was totally wrong. He should not have taken advantage of her when she was drunk. Along the same lines, she should have had enough respect for herself to not get so inebriated that she could not have her wits about her. The first thing she should have been thinking about is her self-protection, and awareness is self-protection. You have to be aware of your surroundings. You have to be aware of what you're doing. You don't sit your drink down, go back to it. All of that. Our parents taught us that when we were younger. He was wrong in taking advantage of her, and then the way that the investigators saying, oh, man, okay, it's okay,
they were wrong in giving him some sort of false reassurance that everything was going to be okay. Because as we can see now, no, it's not okay, and he was wrong. And they should have told him the repercussions of what happens when a black male gets into these types of situations with, here we go again, out there with those white women.
And, you know, well, but, Regina, I want to just say, you know, we want to be in a colorless environment, and certainly we want to teach these young men that we're not in a colorless environment, and these young white men are getting off with less sentences, but you can't do what they do because you're going to get 10 years instead of 10 months. But, again, we need to be telling our girls what they need to be doing to protect themselves.
Exactly. I agree with you.
Audrey, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think we're all in agreement with the women have to look out for themselves. But going back to your question as it relates to the situation of setting up right parameters, you're right. You can make a much better decision when you're not caught up in the moment in that situation. So I think females and males speak different languages because they just kind of think differently. And I think all of us on the phone probably have matured enough, and you know, we can understand. But we're talking about young people. You have to be very, very specific because I don't know if in my young age, if I would say, hey, I'm gonna stay over, and I expect for nothing to happen. I genuinely do, maybe just naiveness of me or whatever the case may be. But I think you have to just, like I say, just set some clear boundaries. And females, and we were talking the same thing, Regina, you know, if you go out, you keep up with your drink or someone sits and stay at the table while everybody else go dance or whatever, but if you're out of sight of it, then you let it go. I don't care how much it costs you or whatever, you just let it go. But we as females understand that our first responsibility is to make sure that we take care and protect ourselves. You know, we have to make sure that we're looking out for ourselves. And like you say, first of all, try not to find yourself in that situation. But if you do, there is a way out. So you have to just take the actions to work out on it.
Princess, are you out there?
Oh, yes, I am here. Hello, ladies.
Hi.
Hi, tremendous thirst to see you, Princess.
Say that again.
I was just saying tremendous Thursday to you. Hello.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I missed that Thursday part.
Okay, Princess, we know that you're involved with sports a lot. What are your thoughts about this University of North Carolina football player who now finds himself in big trouble?
You know, I'm not going to even come from the sports side of it because I'm a mom and I have two girls. And I understand that we have to be careful, and this is the world and society where we have to look out for ourselves and protect ourselves and not put ourselves in certain situations or our young ladies. But I also think it's a sad situation that we have to. You know, why isn't it that we can't spend the night and not have any expectations and be safe? Why is it that we are passed out drunk and we have to worry about somebody wanting to come and have sex with us while we are passed out? I mean, there is a certain animalistic nature in certain people that I think that's ridiculous. And why is it not okay for me to go up in your room at 2 a.m. and for you not to expect there to be some type of repayment? I think we've gotten way, way out of bounds where we say this is okay. And I know that men and women speak a different love language, but there needs to be said, too, come on. I have control of my body, and I don't care if I'm right there. If I say no, does that not still be no? And why have we had that right taken away? And young ladies now, when they report rape, they are laughed at and told to go home and think about it. That's what the young lady was told when Jameis Winston she claimed that he sexually assaulted her. Go home and think about it. Or, you know, what did you have on? I think that's a sad society in a place that we're in now. That's it.
Well, Princess, let me just say this. You know, I'm the only man on here, so I need to just say this. You need, and I would tell my daughter, you need to protect yourself from young men who are not mature enough to recognize how they can be impacted by bad decisions. And when you go up to a young man's room and you are drinking, that young man is not you're asking too much. I'm just telling you.
He's an animal. He is a complete animal. Asking too much, then he's beyond human nature.
No, I don't think it's beyond human nature. I think you need to recognize that all young men are not capable of being Boy Scouts.
Okay.
And I'm just saying that there are some that are, and there's some who are gentlemen, and they've been trained the right way, but you don't know that by looking in their eyes. So I would tell my daughter, you need to say, when he says, hey, come up to my room and let's talk after midnight, if you haven't been dating him for a long time, I would say, no, I'll see you tomorrow. Or if you are already in the room, don't ask that man to spend the night with you. If you don't have any, tell him he needs to go home.
Okay.
Is it possible I can say something?
Yes.
just looking at the whole situation, I think it's very, very important for us as human beings on this planet to understand the sexes of who we are, and also understand basically the puppet masters that engineer us into doing things that we have no idea what we're doing. What I'm basically saying is that I noticed that a lot of women, because they're never approached properly, they actually join in and take a mouthful of their own rape. And so because she's never approached properly, and doesn't know how to be approached properly, it goes on both ways. You know, the man basically approaches the woman, and when he approaches the woman, he approaches her from a standpoint of a mindset of a male psychology, and I think that's what's really affecting us. I think that a lot of women are functioning out of a male psychology, and I think that basically we've been educated to think like males, you know, and conditioned to, you know, change the roles and sexes. So when it comes to the man, you know, when it comes to the man trying to have sex with the woman that was drunk, you know, I do say that his approach was wrong, but I also have to give it on. I also have to look at the woman and say her approach was wrong too, because she took a form and joining in her, she took a approach and joining in her own mild form of rape. You know, she and what I mean by that is basically, if the woman's heart isn't open, then a man just went straight to her vagina where there's no energy and started a force entry. So when you look at it, we've been taught and trained to basically approach women from a male standpoint of view, and women have been educated and trained to, you know, not attack males, but to condition males from a male point of view. And I just think when it comes to him and the woman, I don't think that he's wrong, and I don't think that she's wrong. I say we're all wrong for not basically in the society for – we're all wrong in the society for exploiting people around their ignorance around sex, you know. A lot of people
now,
have ignorance.
Who would you say is doing the exploitation, though? Why is it that these young men find themselves feeling as though they're entitled? You know, you have to be careful because your freedom is at stake.
Right. Well, Well, I want you to repeat the question so when I give my answer, you know what I'm saying, it can be expounded on, and I'll have to, you know, go back and say, because I'm about to say something that's, I don't want to say it's deep, but it's very high. And when it comes to the male, you know, like I said, it's about his approach. But a lot of males, if you ask them who's basically responsible, we are as a people. You know, when you look at one child that's undeveloped, community, have you ever heard that the village take care of the child? Anybody ever heard that?
I think you're saying it takes a village to raise a child?
Right. Anybody ever heard that saying before? It takes a village to raise a child? Right. It takes us to raise, it takes us on this planet to make sure that we support humanity. It's not just a one person thing. It's all of us. So it's not only his fault, and it's not only her fault, but it's everyone's fault on this planet for basically not understanding what sex is and not understanding themselves. And who
she was
blame?
Unconscious.
Who do you blame?
She was unconscious. She was unconscious.
Was she unconscious?
What was her approach?
Oh. What was her approach?
But I agree with what he's saying. I agree with what the young man's saying.
Okay.
She might have thought the guy looked cute. And instead of going for intelligence, you know, a lot of women go off what a man looks nowadays instead of his intelligence. So she might have thought he was cute. And she might have just fell for it. You know, it's not a bad thing. We all fall for them. I'm not going to say ignorant, but we all fall for them type of tricks where we just look at a woman's body and inside our minds, you know, we fantasize about what we want to do or how can we connect to her. But I think that's what we all end up wrong at. You know, when you look at sex, right, people are taught nowadays about sex through, what, the Internet, not only the Internet, mm-hmm. but the TV, you know, and these are programs. These are hypnotized. So what I'm trying to do right now is dehypnotize people from the conditions that they've been living in. When you look at the woman and the man, they're supposed to communicate on energetic levels, and they're supposed to be present with each other so they can basically bring forth on this planet something beautiful to support humanity. I say that you blame, I say there's no one to blame but us, and I say that when you look at man's point of view, you look at it from a lot of women look at it and say he can be a bullshit man, he's a no good man, right? But then look at it from the woman's point of view. A lot of women, right? The man, I'm gonna put it like this. The man's penis is his positive pole, but the man's heart is negative. The woman's vagina is the positive pole.
All right, guys.
We're
going to have to continue this show on because it looks like we got a lot more to talk about. And I want to thank all of you all for calling in. And remember, we'll be back on tomorrow at 6. And maybe we need to continue this discussion. Because it's getting kind of deep. I want everybody to be back here tomorrow at 6 o'clock so we can continue to talk about this. Take care. See you tomorrow.